May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's good to be home for a little bit. Thanks for your prayers. Here's some amazing scripture from Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll spend a couple of days, maybe the rest of the week, looking at some of the things in Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Obviously, therefore, the Lord knows not just our thoughts, but the very intentions of our heart. Nothing is a surprise to Him. Nothing is a closed book to Him. Regardless of how transparent we are to Him, He sees us in a very transparent way. "And there is no creature," verse 13, "hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." And then He says these amazing things. "Since then, therefore, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses or frailties, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That verse 16 is kind of the conclusion, the coup de grace, what we're after in these scriptures, what the Holy Spirit's wanting us to see. He's preparing our hearts to be able to say, okay, we'll do that. We can come, we can draw near. I love the language in that verse 16, which we'll see more this week, but it's in the present tense, which means I want you to constantly be drawing near to me. And I want you to draw near with me with not insecurity and not in fear, but I want you to draw near to me in confidence. The word confidence there is simply a word that is just the word all. And so the idea is they translated to confidence because what he's saying is, I want you to always draw near to me. Our nearness is as important to him as his nearness is to us. Remember what it says in a Song of Solomon 2? He says, "Your voice is sweet and your presence is lovely." And that word lovely there means it's very home. It's like God says, I feel most at home, not in heaven, but in your presence. He created us for him, for relationship. We're created to be his dwelling place. And so the Lord longs for us to draw near. And the context here is drawing near, even though he judges the intentions and the very thoughts of our hearts. Everything's laid bare before his eyes. There's nothing about us, not just what we're doing, but what we're thinking and why we're doing what we're doing. And why we're thinking what we're thinking. He knows it all. And yet he says, in light of that, I want you to live your life drawing near with confidence. And again, that word means all. In other words, just bring it all. Don't hide anything. Don't pretend like something's not there. Don't pretend like you don't have a weakness or a failure. Don't pretend like you don't have a need. Just bring it all, because I know it all. So bring it all. It's an amazing thing. Amen? And here's kind of the sort of a brief Holy Spirit argument in terms of why we should be able to do that. He says in verse 14, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens." You've heard me talk about this particular grammar thing. It's not trying to impress you with grammar, but this tense, this perfect tense means completed action in the past with continual present tense results. And if you'll notice what he says here, he says, "We have a great high priest who has passed through," or "who came through." And a lot of people think about that in terms of the ascension, but what he's talking about is his coming from heaven down to earth. He passed through the heavens. He explains what that's all about in the next verse. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we, but without sin." It's not that we're just relating to a God who lives up in heaven, who doesn't understand the battle that we're in this fallen world, who doesn't understand and sympathize. The word to sympathize means to suffer with, who doesn't get how hard it is. Now, the truth of the matter is, God's omniscient. He didn't have to step out of heaven and come to earth to understand anything. But he did it because he loves us so much. Now, we know he came to earth to die on the cross, but not just that. He came so that we would be confident. He came to help us. We're so finite. There are things we don't get. And so we know theologically that God's omniscient. He knows everything. But what we needed is for a God who stepped out of heaven, passed through the heavens, came to earth, and allowed himself to be tempted in every way like us. So that we would believe he's actually sympathetic with what we go through. Because the truth is, the enemy's always hitting us with guilt and condemnation and a sin consciousness. And his goal is to keep us from drawing near. We were created to live in God's presence. In him we live and move and become, it says in Acts 17. We only become who we really are in the presence of the Lord. We were created for his presence. We were created to be his dwelling place, and he is our dwelling place. That's why it says, abide in him. He said, abide in me, and I in you. And so the enemy's job is to keep us separated. The word sin is to separate. Literally means to separate. And the whole point of man's sin is to keep us separated from God. And because Jesus came and was tempted in every way like unto us, which is part of the work of salvation, not just atoning for our sins, but saving us from being separated from God. He went and paid for our sins, and then lets us know he passed through the heavens. And that didn't just happen fully one time. It changed everything forever. Continual present tense result. He was tempted in every way like us. That's also in the perfect tense. He was completely tempted in every way. Whatever it is you may be tempted with, he's been tempted with. And the consequences of that stands today. And that is that now, having been born again and experiencing the results of the atonement, in relationship, we can come before him with all. We can keep drawing near, and we'll talk about that more this week, and find the mercy that we need when we fail and the grace that we need when we're being tempted. But the good news is that Jesus understands. He's not there to condemn you or to judge you. He stepped out of eternity. What an expression of love. Couldn't he have just waved his hand and we're forgiven? I mean, can't God do anything? Or couldn't he have just showed up 3 days before the cross, died on the cross, atoned for our sins? Why did he spend all those years on earth? Why did he give him that 33-year time to experience the suffering physically? That God became man and experienced everything that man goes through in relationships, finances, everything else. Why? Because God wanted us to be comfortable to draw near. Because God wanted us to understand that he understands. Do you understand? You hear what I'm saying to you? The kind of love that is? He could have just come 3 days before or 2 hours before the cross, died for our sins, we're going to go to heaven. But he wanted to prove to us. He went through hell on earth to prove to you that no matter what you're going through, he's not going to condemn you or judge you. He understands. He wants to heal you and change you. And he accepts you unconditionally. That's powerful to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.